Great to have you here on this Tuesday, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and the show team in place, Michael Birchfield, Jeff Burson, and we've got Ryan Penny on the phones, and that means phone lines are open. So we encourage you to call right now, and we give you today's topic at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Debbie, we have put something on the calendar suggested by a listener by the name of Alan. Mm-hmm. And this is something that a lot of us can relate to, especially maybe younger people and definitely parents who have kids still at home.
Right. Well, it's for all ages because everybody's stuck at home. So right. For all ages, video games, the infamous video games. How much is too much? So we're going to be asking you a couple questions and see if you can give us your experience of video games. Do you play video games? Do you give any type of time limits for all family members at this point? I'm sure. Are you making it a family thing that you all jump in together and, you know, play those racing games and stuff together where you all have different controls or whatever? It's, you know, that could be a time for, you know, family fun as well. Have you noticed any changes from those loved ones in your house that has are kind of addicted to these video games, maybe even some violent ones? Have you seen some behavioral changes in them? Are things going on? Do you see people not wanting to interact and just have their heads, you know, focused and their minds focused on these video games? All sorts of angles, all sorts of questions, but it's about video games. So speak up, folks. Ready? 833-288-3986.
You know what I did to get ready for this show?
You played a video game.
Yeah, I did. Actually, I dusted off my Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, stop. You did
and
not, really?
My Pong game. Remember Pong?
You wait know, a minute. Do you really have those? Because it's probably worth money. Seriously.
I wish I had them. Yeah, they would, like you said, they would fetch a fortune on eBay. This just shows we're dating ourselves, but it also shows that things have come so far from the what we thought were fun. I mean, if you put one of these in front of a 15-year-old today, he'd laugh you out of the room. And now today we have these intricate games. They spend millions and millions developing them and building them and promoting them, and the Xboxes and the PlayStations and all this stuff. And you've got young people, primarily young people, not exclusively, Debbie, playing video games against each other all around the world. It's so interactive right now, and I think it's becoming very absorbing of a lot of minds, a lot of young hearts, and that's what we want to talk about today. So if you have any experience with this within your household, dial us at 833-288-3986.
Well, when you're talking about playing these video games and interacting with people all over the world, Jerry, you know, it's very competitive. There's a lot of conversation that can transpire that's not always positive. It's not really uplifting. And sometimes people think they are interacting in a kind of a fellowship way. I would question that. I mean, I'm not disrespecting those that are really big, heavy, hardcore gamers. I'm not talking, you know, you guys weigh in as well, you know, educate us. But, you know, you see things on TV, you watch it and movies and stuff. And I mean, it can really be, I think, misleading, thinking that you are interacting with these people in a healthy way. And it actually could be quite destructive and maybe even possibly damaging to their faith or something, especially if you're talking, you know, bad language to one another, all sorts of stuff, or, you know, just hurting one another. And that, I don't think, you know, you see that on TV. I don't play these games. I've seen it. My son played it years ago. It was kind of, you know, relatively just childlike, but now it's benign. It was benign back then. But now, Jerry, speaking about that, it has really ramped up into something that could potentially be, I think, deadly. I mean, am I being too extreme here? I don't know.
Well, I would say I have two major concerns, and one of them is what you just said. If especially young minds and hearts are being formed by, you know, basically mowing people down with these, you know, guns and tanks and all this stuff, you know, then if they're kind of absorbed in that and really not being as formed as they should be in the faith, in their academics, in their socializing with their peers and so forth, that could potentially be an issue. And then the other thing that would concern me is just simply the time that is spent. And I speak from experience, because because one of my nephews, I know he's working now, he has a job, so it's not as bad as it was, but I would stay with my brother-in-law, and any time of the night I would get up to use the restroom or something, I'd see the light coming on, you know, under his door, and he's in there playing all night long and then sleeping half the day and then playing video games again. So right. I just
unhealthy.
I hope the parents understand the need to, no, I don't want to say cut this off, take it away from them, but just make sure that they're getting a balance in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Keep it in balance. We're all about balance. Let me ask you this question, Jerry. You mentioned, I think it was yesterday, I'm sorry, please forgive me, every day is a blur now since we've been in the home. It's just every day is running into one another. I believe it was yesterday you mentioned about, or maybe it was the day before, or last week, I don't know. Anyway, you said about your brothers and sister, your brothers, no, I don't think you tackled your sister. Your brothers used to tackle one another and, you know, kind of throw things at them and, you know, beat them up a little bit, and then you'd go off and play basketball, right?
Right.
Well, what if somebody said, you know, Jerry, it's no different when we're doing when we're playing these games, but we're not really, we're just virtually hurting one another. You know, you did the same thing growing up, only you did it, you know, with your brothers there, and it's the same thing. It's still some sort of violence, right? Now, what would you say to that?
Well, it is, in a sense, a sort of violence. Like I said, I admitted on the air that we would throw rocks at each other and try to tackle each other and take each other down and kind of roughhouse and all of this stuff. And as I look back, I would never condone throwing rocks at anyone now. But I think one major difference is just the genre of the video games, Debbie. We knew the difference between right and wrong when it came to taking up a gun and whether you shoot somebody or not, and going into school and gunning down a bunch of your friends and stuff. So, I don't want to paint with too wide of a brush here, but I want to hear from parents if you see your kids maybe spending what you would consider an inordinate number of hours in the day on video games. Maybe you have no problems. Maybe you've got, your household is all buttoned up. You say, you know, Johnny, you can play from 3 to 5, and after that it's dinner, and then it's study. Maybe you've got that all down pat. Love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. We would. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, we'll come back to what you just said, because I think that was a really key point there about knowing the difference of between right and wrong. And in this day and age, that's become, you talk about blurred lines there. So we want to talk about it. 833-288-3986. Please join us. We're talking about video games here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. There's room for you to join in on this discussion and share your experience. You don't have to out yourself and say, okay, I'm one of the ones you're talking about. I play 6 hours a day and I'm losing sleep and all that. It's okay. Well, let's just talk about it. We just want to learn. We want to grow from each other's experiences. And hopefully we'll get a little bit closer to God at the end of this discussion. 833-288-3986. And I know, Jerry, you're going to move right to the calls. But real quickly, I just want to remind folks that for over 25 years, EWTN Radio has been bringing the Rosary, the Holy Rosary, twice each day. Twice each day. That's amazing. 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time, you can pray the Rosary with, you know, the beautiful Rosary that was recorded by Mother Angelica and the nuns of Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. Or 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the one that Marty and I pray, because, you know, it's Father Benedict Rochelle is leading it, the late Father Benedict Rochelle. Gotta love him. He's from my hometown. Went to the same school I did many years before me. But yes, 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us and pray the Most Holy Rosary. It's very powerful.
Very good. Thanks, Debbie. And before we get to your calls, we will in just a moment. You may have heard the news by now. You probably have heard the news that Australia's highest court has overturned Cardinal George Pell's conviction for child sex abuse. And this could not be bigger news on this particular front, Debbie, because as many people are saying, had the conviction been upheld, then it would have been pretty much open season on any member of the clergy in Australia. Right. So this is the fruit of many, many people just storming heaven and asking God for this great, great gift. And during Holy Week, Debbie, it is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand there's other people that are being falsely accused in the priesthood. And I heard that today on Catholic radio that there's another priest, they mentioned them by name, and he's sitting in jail, and they feel he was wrongly accused. And so, you know, it's really tragic what has happened, because you want to absolutely sympathize and be compassionate to the victims. But then when something like this happens on the other side, it's just tragic, you know? So prayer, I think, makes everything right. And we should continue to do that and pray for all those that are being falsely accused of things as well. Real quickly, Jerry, on Catholic Radio, before we get to Jonathan, and please, we're buying you some time, folks. You can fill up those open phone lines at 833-288-3986. We're talking about video games today. Real quickly, I heard this on Catholic Radio as well. It's very disturbing, but I think it's a great opportunity for parents. Now that your children are home, if they're continuing their schooling at home via like on Zoom or some kind of Skype, you know, or some kind of virtual way that they're continuing their studies, please maybe just kind of listen in or look over their shoulder and see what's being taught, because, or hear what's being taught. Because I just heard today on Catholic Radio that a gentleman called in, and he was overhearing his child's religious class at a Catholic school. And the teacher was telling the elementary students that Jesus in the Eucharist is just a symbol. And at first, when I heard that, I literally shook, folks. I was literally getting ready to do this show. I was listening on the radio, and I started shaking. And then I pulled a Jerry Usher. I reframed it, and I said, "This is a perfect opportunity for parents to see what's being taught in the classroom." Folks, please, please listen in. I think it's important. What do you think, Jerry?
I agree. Something the parents should be doing, whether the kids are at home or in the brick and mortar school that they go to. Okay, we're going to get to Jonathan. I just want to mention today's topic on video games. How much is too much? Is it? Are they safe? Is it okay? Do they mislead young minds and hearts in a bad direction? A listener by the name of Alan suggested the topic, and our beautiful dear sister in Christ, Patricia in Houston, brought our attention to a two-part series by the British Broadcasting Company, which are posted at Take2Show.com. So a two-part series on this by the BBC. You will find that at Take2Show.com. And now, Jonathan, thank you for waiting. We're going to go to Jonathan in Central City, Kentucky, watching on YouTube and a first-time caller. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Jonathan, you there? Well, you got through first, Jonathan, but we'll have to put you back on hold just for a second here. If Ryan can take it. There we go. Let's go to Matt in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Our Lady of Victory. Hello, Matt. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well.
Pretty
how are
well,
you?
All things considered.
Good. You know, I don't have much to say, but it did. The topic interests me because I'm 38 now, but whenever I was in college, I remember this video game that came out, and it was like a sports game, and I never got into the bang-bang shoot-em-up games, but this sports game would log how much time you would spend on it. And so you could go to a different screen, and it would show you how much time. And I remember there was a semester where I logged 374 hours on that thing. And needless to say, I remember I got two Fs, a C, and a D that semester, you know, and realized that game was probably not in the best interest for my grades, and we did away with it. But, I mean, I remember it being just a highly addictive, you know, it's not like you mentioned Pong earlier. Pong, you know, you played a little bit, and then you were done with it, you turned it off. But the games now, like you said, are so intricate that you find yourself immersed in them.
Yeah. Yeah, with Pong or things like that, you would get bored a little more easily. I think with the technology today, it is so incredible, the technology, the things that they can do and how you can compete with people in your neighborhood and around the world. And I think that competition, Debbie, too, drives a lot of this, because there's got to be some adrenaline flowing through there, and guys and gals, of course, wanting to kind of compete with each other and be number one and beat each other in these games. So, but Matt, I have a question for you. You said that, yeah. Did you didn't realize it at the time, obviously, that you were, that this was, or did you, that this was kind of pulling you away from your studies at any, or did you just look, you know, realize that looking back in hindsight?
I think that twofold. I think one, I realized it, but I think my roommates really realized it. They actually made me set up a separate TV because they got tired of me taking over the TV and playing all the time. Yeah.
Matt, can I ask you just a couple questions before we let you get on with your day? You said, okay, couple things. First, I just want to say this isn't a question, it's a comment. You said you logged 374 hours. I mean, Matt, do you realize you could have probably gotten your PhD with that with that amount of time? You would have probably been the smartest person in the world. Okay, so 38 years old. Any physical effects of spending so much time? Did you notice any decrease in your eyesight, anything? I'm just curious because they always say when you're glued to all these things, and then they also said too, you might even have, you know, possible carpal tunnel issues from, you know, moving your hands so quickly, or if you have any startling reaction or something. Did you see any of that? I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I noticed any of it. I'm not saying it didn't exist, but you know what's funny is I picked the controller up a few years ago and put that game in, and all that muscle memory was still there.
Mm. Wow.
Like, I didn't have to relearn how to play it. It was just, it was crazy. I mean, you know, I've been blessed. I have two daughters that are beautiful, and they don't show a lot of interest in video games, and so we do as much playing outside and chalking on the concrete as we can.
That's awesome. Great. That's awesome. You sound like a great dad. No, I'm so glad you shared this, because there's a lot of, you know, we have a lot of downtime because we do things so much quicker these days, and there is that time that we can devote to other things, and I think this is very helpful. We have a younger audience that listens to this show, and maybe if they're you know, at their last couple years in high school or starting college, they'll remember your story, and they don't, you know, they'll say, you know what, I don't want my college years to have to, I have to struggle in some of my classes because of this, right, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny, like, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, man, like you said, how much quicker could I finish school if I just put that system away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and that begs
thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for the call, Matt, for joining us. You'll never be a first-time caller again, but please do call again. 833-288-3986. Debbie, it begs the question, you know, if this was the case with Matt maybe a decade or half, 10, 15 years ago, how much more or how much the same is that the issue with you know, people who are doing these video games right now? And, you know, Debbie and I are here to throw cold water on this. We want to have a conversation and get your experiences, especially if you are a gamer, if you have kids who are gamers in your family. I know, Debbie, they're building technology that is your computer can just, they have to have the fastest computers, the best consoles. They have what do you call it, virtual reality. I mean, so it's come a long ways.
But I think Matt really nailed it. Therein lies the problem. That is the time, the devotion of time to these video games. Is that a good use of time? Wouldn't you say that is the problem, Jerry? Because it's the time factor, not only the fact that, you know, you're doing all these games and interacting, you know, virtually and everything, but the time that's spent on it. What do you think about that?
Well, I did the math real quick, and Matt's total hours, 374 hours, added up to 15 and a half, almost a little over 15 and a half full 24-hour days playing video games. So, and, you know, parents spend a lot of money to send their kids to school. You know?
I think Matt really helped us. Great start, Matt. Thank you so much. Please call again and share some other experiences with us on future topics. Now let's go back to Jonathan. Jonathan, we were talking to you. You were trying to answer. We didn't hear you. We apologize. In Central City, Kentucky, on YouTube, we're waving to you. First-time caller. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly.
Just fine. Mm-hmm.
So, I used to be a World of Warcraft addict. I don't know if you guys remember that game. Used to be real big about 14 years ago.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it from watching the commercials on TV, but yeah, as far as it goes for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to basically be an addict. In about 7 years, I had over a month logged into just one character out of about 20. And it actually told you your count in days.
Is that right?
It took me, yes. You could put in a type in time played, and it would show you. It took me getting a job that had me working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day to break that addiction because it was just so drawing in. And I even found myself falling into the toxic traps. I don't know if you've seen those videos on YouTube of the people, they call them the toxic player videos.
I'm not familiar with that either.
I'm not either, Jonathan, but educate us.
Yeah, tell us.
They are people who are playing these games. You see it big with Overwatch and Call of Duty right now. Call of Duty is a huge one for this. You'll be playing and they'll say things to you. I refuse to repeat on the air on this station. They will call you names involving several dozen cuss words, say things they will do to yourself and members of your family in explicit manners. And I found myself falling in that trap as I played.
And you mean doing the same thing is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, I want to get, setting that aside, thanks be to God, you know, you've hopefully been extricated from that that addiction, as you put it, you know, to the point where I don't know if you play anymore or not, and that's not the question here. But my question for you is, With every addiction, my understanding, Debbie and I are not experts in any of this, but we know enough, we've talked to enough people to know that addictions have a lot of different aspects to them. There's the mental, there's the physical, there's almost that adrenaline rush that, you know, kind of, you know, it's like somebody trying to wean themselves off of a drug or something. Did you feel that? Did you feel that physically as you were trying to move away from playing that game?
To a point, yes. I kept wanting to go back and play. I was lucky enough, as I said, to get the job that was keeping me away from it, and then had a lightning storm happen that took out my good gaming computer.
Oh, wow.
And I have yet to replace it.
Now,
I'm not saying all video games are that bad, but some of them do drive you down that road.
Right. And Jonathan, in just a moment, we're going to have to hit the pause button. But I want to just tap into this because, Jerry, Jonathan's open to sharing some things with us that I think could help others that are listening right now that are at home with family members that are gaming all the time. So, Jonathan, going back real quickly to this trash talking that happens with the players. And then you said it gets really kind of threatening and everything. And you were drawn into that. Were you drawn into it, Jonathan, because you were baited into it? I mean, was it something that you had to keep up with everybody else in order to maintain whatever high position you were in the gaming world? How did that work? I just wanted to know.
It was one of those things where you start out when you're learning, you're the guy who gets beat on. You know, you're the one they're saying that to. Then as you come up, it's like, how can I describe this? It's like the hazing traditions from colleges you hear about on the news. Mm-hmm. You know, the seniors were hazed. When the freshmen become seniors, they're doing the hazing. That's kind of how it evolves. Because you start out as one who doesn't know anything and gets hazed by these players. And then you end up becoming the one who's doing it before you even realize it.
Right, right. Jerry, why don't you share with Jonathan what you typed over while you were speaking, Jonathan, before you said it. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, well, Debbie and I are not in the same location for the show. She is in Phoenix. I'm in California. Hold on, by the way, Jonathan, if you can, during the break. But I typed the word hazing over to her. Mm-hmm. And I also typed rite of passage. You know, these are almost like you said, the things that you go through in a, you know, a frat house or at college, even in high school sometimes. Jonathan, if you can, hang on. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie talking about the effects of video games today. Please join us.
You're
with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Thanks again to the show team. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. We appreciate that so much. Talking today about the impact of video games. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you a gamer? Several people who have called or are waiting to get on the air have talked about maybe some of the dangers of them. Maybe you're someone who, you know, you limit your time, you do it in moderation, and you think it's just a great diversion. We'd love to hear from you as well. We don't have an agenda. We just want you to bring your takes, as always, to the program at 833-288-3986. And Jonathan, Central City, Kentucky, just real quick, thanks for holding on during the break. I wanted to ask you, a lot of parents are listening to the program right now. You had your experience where this was just gobbling up your time. It was affecting your mind, your heart in so many ways. It took getting a 7-day, 10-hour-a-day job to kind of wean you off of video games. What do you say, Jonathan, to parents? Should they let kids do this a little bit? Should they monitor it? Should they just nix it from their homes altogether? As if you were speaking, you know, to the parents who are listening right now, what would you say?
There's no reason not to let your kids play video games. You've just got to watch what they're playing, watch the content, watch what's happening. A good game for kids, especially ones interested in math and science, available on the computer through Steam, is called Polybridge. It's a great educational game that is just fun. You build bridges across rivers to get cars across. But watch what they're playing is the big key.
Jonathan, let me ask you a question real quickly, if I can jump in. What about like Fortnite and stuff like that? What about that kind of, what about those games that are so popular or were popular, I guess, back a couple years ago?
My opinion, and this is just my opinion of those, is they have become so toxic that I've just don't want to even look at them anymore.
Right.
From these community of people who think that the world revolves around whether or not you get the victory in your match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Good advice, Jonathan. Thank you so much. We're so glad that you got your life. You know, you worked through it, and it's in balance, and that's wonderful, and that's a great thing. And you're giving great advice to others to help all of us, because I think once you enter into it, you don't realize at the time how addicted you can get to it. And it's kind of similar, I think, even to watching television. You know, you turn on the television set like it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Before you know it, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're thinking, where did all that time go? You know, you kind of get drawn into whatever you're looking at and entering into with your attention and our precious time. Thank you, Jonathan, so very, very much. And please continue to be well and stay safe, okay?
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Jonathan. Thanks for calling. You're the ones who make the program. And you do so not only by phone, but also by social media comments, YouTube and Facebook, EWTN channels there. And Debbie, Jonathan was alluding to this. Go ahead.
No. You say something. Jonathan just jogged my memory on something. Go ahead.
Well, Chad, watching on Facebook, says, I failed my senior year of high school due to World of Warcraft. I was in another, all caps, another world. It was an escape due to family issues at home. I got out of it by just giving up on it. I now turn to God to help me when I have issues.
Talk about the Holy Spirit. I did not realize. Who's that from? Chad, you said?
Chad, yeah, Chad.
Okay, I didn't realize Jerry was going to read this. I was just thinking about this as we were talking to Jonathan. I know even in my own family, okay, and some friends of mine as well with their kids, when there were problems at home, if there was a divorce or something happening, kids would naturally turn to this as an escape, as a way to just forget about what was really going on in their real lives and to enter into this false, world in order to just not think about the problems. I would say that's quite similar to us as adults who may turn to alcohol or drugs to be able to escape, or casinos or anything else that we want to escape reality because it's so painful. I would suggest the remedy to that, Jerry, and the answer, and the only answer, three letters, G-O-D, God, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I'll speak only for myself. Throughout the course of my life, it wasn't video games, but I have wasted countless hours, and I know we're all going to give an account to God for that someday. So, again, not to say don't play video games or anything, but let's keep priorities in order, and God, as Debbie said, has got to be a priority for us. Okay, again, real quick, Michael on YouTube, watching on YouTube, he says, I belong to a group called Reflections of the Light that plays the Lord of the Rings online together. We offer prayers up for each other. You just obey the family-friendly chat rules.
Oh, interesting. So they kind of brought in a spiritual side of it,
yeah,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. It's very interesting. Okay, let's hear what Vince has to say. And Vince is in Wichita, Kansas on Catholic Radio Network, is a first-time caller as well. We got a lot of first-time callers today, so we're giving you that virtual bell. Vince, welcome to Take Two.
So, thank you very much. And I'll really ride the coattails of Debbie, what you were just talking about. And I think as a parent of six and having them all, blessed to have them all at home now, we've been barrauded with the question of can we play, can we play, can we play? We as a family gave it up for Lent during the week. And so the kids really hit us on the weekends. But ultimately, to echo what you were talking about, I think it's a call to self-awareness, and that job as a parent to also that in your children, and helping them realize with anything they're doing in life, but especially in the realm of games, and we've experienced this with our oldest, of how what they're doing or playing or exposing themselves to is making them a better person or not a better person. Is this enhancing your vocation and your calling and your how you were created in the image and likeness of God? Is it making your gifts stronger or weaker? I didn't know the conspiracy theory behind Fortnite and, you know, the designers, you know, supposedly making it, you know, to be as addictive as possible. Don't know if there's anything behind that, but I can say that I did experience that firsthand with our oldest, who I think was 11 at the time, that we finally agreed to let him try Fortnite, and his behavior after his time limit went up was just alarming to me. My jaw hit the floor, and that's when my wife and I realized, okay, there might be something to what's going on here. And I rode that game out of the house on rails. Mm. And it was an opportunity for conversation with our oldest to say, look at your behavior. Like, how are you exhibiting positive behavior to yourself or to the rest of the family? You're influencing the rest of the family. And I had that same conversation with him on other things, and say, you know, my job as a parent is to do everything I can to get you to heaven. And right now, this is doing nothing to help you get to heaven. So, see ya. Now, at the same time, we did find Minecraft, and that's become really an opportunity for kind of happy medium. It's really, from what I've seen, bolstered their creativity. The younger kids can play. It's not an opportunity for that toxic environment that Jonathan's referring to. And when they shut it down, I've noticed that they have become more creative outside. They go grab the boxes. They go build the fort outside. And it's kind of brought them together. And actually, most recently, oldest lost the privilege again. And so he hasn't been able to hold the controller, but he's been able to coach the littler ones on how to build their world in Minecraft. And the other day he came up to me and said, you know, Dad, hey, you know, if I can't play right now, I think I'm kind of enjoying this coaching thing and helping my little brothers get better at it.
Like, that's cool.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
That's my two cents.
No, that's a great two cents. That's worth a lot more than that, Vince, because I'll tell you that helps us tremendously. And redirecting, what I picked up from your take on this is, you know, redirecting into a positive nature. So you want them to become better people. You want this, you know, that's what you're using as how to gauge whether or not this is productive or not. You're saying, is this going to make you a better person? Is this going to help you live out your vocation in life? And you know, I so agree with that. And it sounds like you have a beautiful, I think you said six kids, you have a beautiful family that's thriving and doing well. And that's wonderful. And then you know, instructing and giving that guidance that really helps your children to grow into, you know, responsible adults and to make really good decisions for themselves. And then I just go back to this. It makes me think of children whose family all of a sudden, you know, splits. They may be a single child or they may have one other sibling, and they feel lost. They don't know what to do. They're 12 years old, 13 years old. And so that controller becomes their temple. That controller becomes everything that reminds them of what was happy, fun, good, exciting in life. And it's so sad to me. And that's why I've said so many times, please, please do everything you can, folks, if you're contemplating divorce. And I heard recently that after this COVID-19 isolation thing, there's going to be a lot more people filing for divorce afterwards. How tragic. Please fight for your marriage. Please protect your marriage and your family. Please give your kids a safe place for them to learn and grow and thrive. Vince, like in your family, I think your children are very, very blessed. Before we go to Jerry's comment, any comments on what I just shared?
No, couldn't agree with that. Couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's, again, the... If it's not a tool that's helping them get better, then it's time to get rid of it. And it's also been an opportunity for me to meet my kids where they're at. You know, they may not necessarily like getting out and doing some of the hobbies that I have. So it's been an opportunity for me to swallow a little pride and sit down with a controller and interact with them as a father too. So.
Yeah, but Vince, it's a beautiful approach you're taking, because you're not just saying no more. The consoles are all gone, no more video. You actually want to know what they're ingesting through these video games. And like you said, there can be some healthier alternatives there. And I love you also said, you know, that you're asking them to get out and enjoy some of the things you do. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you might have heard me mention the game Pong and some other ones when we were growing up. We got bored with those real fast. So we'd be out catching snakes and frogs and building forts and tree houses. And as I said on another show recently, that Debbie reminded me, beating each other up.
It's all brotherly fun.
Yeah, right.
Right. Oh, thank
so
you.
So you're
Vince.
Right on, Vince. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Vince.
May I? Oh, go ahead.
Yes, you may. Whatever you want to do.
Well, a couple of YouTube comments that were at people watching the video stream on YouTube. Marilyn says, "Yes, my kids are addicted and they're having issues." Short and sweet from Marilyn. Pink says, "My youngest, 9, has some video games because of his big brother having some video games. I do not control the amount and the types of games. The oldest just bought his own TV and Xbox console. The youngest cannot do any video games or have a computer alone." Mm-hmm. So Pink has got some... you know, some balancing work going on in her house, it sounds like.
The other thing, too, before we get to Carol in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hold on one second, real quickly. Jerry, I just want to say this. You know, when Vincent and others were talking about this Fortnite, and there were stories about how they designed it, how it draws you into that addictive qualities that we all can have in some way, right? You know, that is so problematic, because when you think about it, even if you do transition from your teenage years into your adult life, and then something goes wrong, right? Are you going to, like, who was it that said it so beautifully? Was it Matt? That as soon as you had the controller, the muscle memory came back again? Are you going to go back to that same rhythm of that addictive nature because it's so ingrained in you now? It's very interesting. I wish if you're a psychiatrist or psychologist, call in and let us know how the mind all works on this. It's very interesting. Okay, Carol in Calgary, first time caller, Sirius XM 130. That's how you're listening. Hi, Carol, and welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for your
Hello?
Call. Yep, we're here. Go right ahead.
My experience with it is my 3 stepdaughters who came to us about 6 years ago. So up until then, you know, we didn't have a lot to do with things that were happening in their life. And they already came addicted to online gaming, which I think is even worse than Xbox and things like that. Back then they were 15, 16, 18. Now they're like 21 to 24. The middle one, very badly addicted to online gaming, didn't have any friends, took 3 years to complete high school because of all the time spent gaming, couldn't even sit down and eat at family meals because she'd be gaming all day, all night and come down and eat like midnight to 2 o'clock and then maybe catch a few hours and then go back gaming. And like suffering from carpal tunnel, lower back pain. She's finally getting control of her life, going to school. But like now with the COVID, because everything's online, she's going back to gaming, having trouble doing her online studies. It's a real bad addiction, and it really causes a lot of problems that are, you know, lifelong skills.
Well, Carol, Debbie, did you have something?
You first.
Okay, and we've got another Carol up next, so we'll get to Carol in Rochester after Carol in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I'm remembering back to, I think you alluded to Jonathan a minute ago, Debbie, had been maybe away from the games for a while, and Carol, it sounds like your stepdaughter had kind of moved away from that, and then all of a sudden, being in this isolation or stay-at-home situation, it just came right back. And you know, a lot of people have mentioned the addictive part of this, and I think when you look at a lot of recovery programs, there are people in 12-step programs, and they just say that you've got to stay away from it. If you go back to it at all, even in a little bit, it could be disastrous for you. Now that may not be the case for everybody, but mm-hmm. let's face it: if you're addicted to let's say you're not to make an apples to apples comparison, but if you're addicted to heroin or cocaine or something like that, what does the dealer want you to do? He is going to make your life such that you want to come back for more. And I think, Debbie, these video game manufacturers, in many ways, they understand the psychology of what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they're catering to that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing into it. And Carol, I just want to say something. I don't want to try to judge the situation, what happened. But you said it yourself that these are your three stepdaughters. So this, they're coming from a home that there was a divorce situation, obviously, or something of that nature, probably. If that's true, if that's not true, correct me. But I'm just saying this. So I believe, this is my personal opinion, I don't know the psychology behind it, but I lived it with children in the home and other family members. And Jerry and I are both certified life coaches, so we've experienced this as well with people that we've worked with. When you're addicted to something, you're running from something else, and that addiction is feeding you somehow, whether positive or negative. It's giving you some kind of release from whatever you don't want to deal with or whatever you're afraid to deal with. And that is so sad, because that means that person really isn't developing. They're just kind of halting time, if you will, because they're hoping that either the situation or the problem goes away or they don't have to deal with it. And it's very stagnating in their forward movement. It's going to keep them stuck. It even can throw them backwards. Any comments on that, Carol, real quickly? Is that an indication you're seeing with your three stepdaughters? Are they trying to escape something?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But at the same time, they have been going to counseling. They, have had help all the way along. But this addiction, they've never been able to get away from it. Even the middle one, even though she was doing well at school, she never did stop gaming. She would still stay up until 2 in the morning gaming and then go to school the next day. It just, the school became more important so that she was able to balance it. But the discipline, the impulse control, mm-hmm. That's all gone because of the video gaming. So right. It's really, really difficult to make the right decisions in life when you don't have impulse control and you aren't able to discipline yourself.
Right. Well, and Carol, here's the thing. I love counseling. In fact, I always used to joke about this, but it's only a half joking, that I would live on a counselor's couch because I love telling my situation to other people. I mean, it's very healing. But I just want to say something. You know, counselors are not with you on a day-to-day basis. They're not following that child around on a day-to-day basis. Counseling is fantastic, but it's just a snapshot. It's a moment in time when you go to spend some time to get some, skills and tools and make some assessments on where you are in life and try to work through it and everything. I understand that. And you hit the nail on the head, because I remember a dear loved one of mine who went to counseling and was doing the same thing. They were functioning as an addictive person. They were functioning in the world, but they were still very highly addictive to what they were doing. And yet they were going to counseling, and everybody said, but they're going to counseling. Well, Carol, that's the reason why Jerry and I got into life coaching, because life coaching is you walk through with them, you know, and step by step by step. So you see, I'm so grateful to you that you shared this, because I think it's important for everybody to realize, whether you're dealing with a child or an adult, that it's a process, it's a journey, it's a slow journey, it's step by step, and we have to figure out ways that we all can work together in it so that we can support one another. Real quickly, Carol, what do you think about that? Am I way off base?
No, you're absolutely right on. I just, you know, would counsel parents that video gaming can become addictive, and addictions change the mind of the child, and that's really dangerous, and it will cause them problems for their entire life. Video games in and of themselves aren't dangerous, but when it becomes addictive, it's dangerous. And when they refuse to participate in outdoor activities, family activities, even family dinner, going out for Christmas parties because they have to play video games, like, there's a problem. You should be seeing red flags, and you should be acting on it right away.
Very well said, Carol. Great wisdom from your own experience, and that is what Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is all about. We invite you to bring your lived experiences, your wisdom, your insights, and we're going to pray, Carol, for you and your stepdaughters and for all people in similar circumstances. We pray for the Take Two family each and every day. Thank you, Carol, for your call. And
Jerry, I just want to say, and thank you, Carol, because you are aware of what's happening in your home, and that's you know, that's halfway towards a good solution. Wouldn't you say, Jerry, because you're aware of it?
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes parents will just kind of go, well, they're safe, they're in the house, I'm not going to worry about it. But I think Carol's taking a good, you know, active view on this.
Yeah. And Debbie mentioned the life coaching. She and I and a team of others, we are certified professional life coaches. And if you ever think that you could use, it's not counseling, it's not spiritual direction. A life coach just helps to draw out of you the things you already know. You know, we all really kind of know the path we're supposed to take, but we get stuck a little bit. And it's just good to have a partner to walk along that path with you. So if you'd like to learn more about that, get a free consultation. You can go to standtalltoday.com. StandTallToday.com. All right, real quick, we're going to get to the other Carol in Rochester, New York, listening on Alexa. Hi, Carol. Thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to talk today about, I need help. I have just recently got custody of my 14-year-old grandson, and his mother used to live in the home, but she has been removed. And that's a whole other story. But he plays video games 24/7. I have stopped some of it. But I don't want to jerk everything away from him the second his mother left. I mean, all of a sudden he can't play video games. He can't do this. He can't do that. And there's so much I need to correct. I don't know how to go about encouraging him to do something besides the video games.
Right. Okay.
And
Right. Carol, you are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. Thank you for taking in your beautiful 14-year-old grandson. He's at a tender age. He's probably dealing with a lot. If this is me personally, I probably, if I was the grandmother, I wouldn't take away all of his gaming right now, because that's something that he is getting some kind of comfort out of. But what I would do is create other situations and opportunities for him that are more attractive than those games, that are more attractive. I would sit down with him and get him to do a list of all the things he dreams about that he wants to be when he gets older and wants to do. And then you start providing those opportunities, either free or if it's something that you have to, maybe he has to work to pay for or whatever, and let him live out his dreams. He has dreams, okay? He's probably dealing with a lot of things right now and the adjustment and changes and everything. And I'm sure he's very grateful to you that you took him in. But that gaming is a source of somehow comfort to him. That's just my personal feeling on it. Carol, what do you think? Can you get real creative with him and create some dreams?
I want to do something to help him, but I just can't jerk away his whole life. just because, I mean, he's here with his grandpa and I, which he's always lived with us. He and his mom, just his mom is not part of the picture anymore. So, you know, I can't just change his whole, everything he does.
Right,
right. And Carol, that's not what. Go ahead, Jerry. Reiterate what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what Debbie was saying. Carol, is you don't need to have him wake up one day and he's living on Mars. You know, he just doesn't recognize the life around him at all. Maybe incrementally, little by little. But I love what Debbie said, Carol. And take this to heart and do this. Sit down with your grandson and reinforce who he is, affirm who he is as a human being, a young man created in the image and likeness of God who has a purpose and a journey in life that only he can fulfill. And then, like Debbie said, get him to just think out loud, dream out loud. Even if nothing comes out a whole lot at first, yeah, just maybe repeat this exercise until he latches onto something. And just you'll see him. You'll see him light up, and you're going to know at that point that you got something to work with.
Okay, Carol, thank you. We'll be praying. You can always email us, Carol, because we didn't have too much time to spend with you. So you can email us at take2@ewtn.com. We are going to do a part two. So Nan and Frank and Mary and the others, call back tomorrow. This is a very important topic. We'll address it again tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.